We're turning in our Bibles again to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. With our Bibles open before us, can we just unite together at the throne of grace in prayer? Our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word today. And O God, we thank Thee for the one who is Emmanuel, who came into this world to be our Saviour. We thank Thee for what He has done on our behalf. We bless Thee that He has come and He has gone to the cross that we might be redeemed. And Father, we just commit ourselves to Thee today. And we'd ask that we might be drawn near to the blessed Lamb of God. Draw us into Thy presence and speak to us through Thy word as we come to it now at the end of our meeting. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was but 8 days old when Mary and Joseph took Him up into the temple. According to the law of Moses, when a baby was 8 days old, it was to be circumcised, and there were certain prescribed offerings that were set down in the law that were to be offered for a firstborn son. And every part of the law was meticulously kept in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only a week after His birth, the blessed child, no doubt, was brought here. And no doubt, Mary and Joseph, they were thinking of the extraordinary events that had surrounded that birth. They made their way up from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, up to the temple. You can imagine the hustle and bustle that was going on in that temple. People were coming from all arts and parts. They're hardly paying any attention to the child who was passing by in his mother's arms. To them, it was just another newborn child who was being brought up to the temple to be circumcised. We read how Joseph and his mother brought him into the temple. He wasn't recognized there for a special nature. And the people did not know that the one who was passing by was indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But when the Savior was brought into the actual temple itself, we read that there were those who did recognize who He was. We read that there were a couple of elderly people. And it is noticeable that it was among the elderly that our Savior was revealed. We read here about Anna the prophetess and about this man, Simeon. And we're introduced to Simeon here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And it says there, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." And it is as if the Holy Spirit draws our attention to this man. He says, "And behold, there was a man named Simeon." And when you see that word "behold" in the Scriptures, it makes us sit up and notice. The Holy Spirit just draws our attention to the man. Behold, there was a man named Simeon. You'll notice that it doesn't say, "Behold, there was in Jerusalem a man, a king named Herod." Although it focuses our attention upon him, and there's mention of him in the Scriptures, it doesn't say that we're to behold him. It doesn't even say, "Behold, in Jerusalem there was a man who was a high priest." There wasn't any mention of that. But the Word of God says, "Behold, there was a man whose name was Simeon." And we're told that we're to behold him because he was just and devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I thought that because the Holy Spirit draws our attention to this man, that today we should behold him. That today we should look at him. That today we should draw our attentions to him. Because if the Holy Spirit of God wants us to look at this man, no doubt there are many lessons for us to learn from what the Bible says. And the Bible has a lot to say about this man here who is waiting for the consolation of Israel. The many people who were surrounding the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and no doubt their names are not mentioned, but this man's name is mentioned. And so let us think about this great old man, this great old saint, who is mentioned here in the Scriptures of proof. I want to see the things that the Holy Spirit would want us to see about this man whose name was Simeon. And the first thing I want you to see as we look at him here in the scripture is Simeon's search. He was searching for something. He was looking for something. He was waiting for something. Now, if you look at verse 25, it tells you exactly what he was looking for. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And behold, the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." So here's a man and he's waiting for something. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And he's searching for that. He's waiting for that. That's the whole focus of his life. He's waiting for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that is the one who is the consolation of Israel. That's the one who is the consolation of all our hearts. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think of how he's waiting here. Now the word waiting is a word that just speaks of prayer. Because it's the same word that was used of the apostles and the disciples when they waited in the upper room before the day of Pentecost. Where it says that they were waiting, it's the same word as is used here of Simeon, who is waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the word actually means one who pleads a cause before a judge. Or one who acts as an advocate. That's the word waiting that is used here. So in many ways it's a word that speaks of prayer. Of being an advocate. Of being an intercessor. And that's what Simeon was doing here. He was praying. He was interceding. He was pleading to God for the consolation of Israel. And day by day as he came to God in the temple, he would say, "Lord, let it be today. Come today. Lord, visit us today. Let thy Messiah, let the Lord Christ be among us." So here's a man who was waiting in prayer. And obviously he was waiting in prayer because he knew the need. No doubt as he waited, he looked around him and he saw the darkness that was pervading the land. He saw the people that were turning away from the things of God. And he saw how that so many were laying aside the things of God. And there was much despair. And there were many things that he could have been cast down about as far as the land of Israel at that time was concerned. But here's a man who prayed. Here's a man who was seeking God. And he was really praying on behalf of his land. And surely that's what we need to do. The only hope for our land. The only consolation for us is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want consolation in your heart or in your home or in your family or in the land in general, man and woman today, pray. There's no point in getting down about it. No point in getting despair about it. But wait, plead, seek for the consolation of Israel. Ask the Lord to visit you. And that's what Simeon was doing. He was waiting, interceding for the consolation of Israel. But notice the character of Simeon's search here. The text here says that, or implies that the wait that he had for the consolation was a long wait. Because it says here in the text, the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him, and obviously was revealed some time before by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And there, it seems to imply that it was a long time before that Simeon had been given this promise that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And you can imagine Simeon coming day by day into the temple and he's waiting, he's interceding, he's praying for something to happen. He has something of a promise about it. And there maybe were long years in his life when Simeon was seeking for these things. And maybe there were times when he'd become frustrated. Maybe there were times when he'd become weary. Maybe he'd said to himself, "When is this going to be? I have waited so long. I'm old in years now." And he was waiting all in these years. And he was an old man by this stage. And he'd waited a long time for this. You know, there are many people who have been waiting a long time for God to answer their prayers. Maybe you've been waiting a long time to answer for an answer to prayer for your family. Waiting a long time for God to answer prayer on behalf of somebody that you've been asking God for. Or maybe there's something in your life that you need to get right. Or something that needs to be done. And you've been waiting a long time for something that you need that God would answer prayer. But isn't the lesson very clear here? that God honors the man or woman who does pray. Because Simeon did see the answers to his prayer. Here was a man who was honored. And we see it again with Anna on down in the chapter. We read about Anna the prophetess. And it says that she was a woman who had been 84 years a widow. And perhaps she was of very great age, this woman. And she had said that as she waited, that she had been there serving the Lord with fastings and prayers night and day. And there she was in the temple. It says in verse 37 that she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. But God honored her prayers, and God answered her prayers. And here were these old pair with zeal and with consistency, with long life maybe they'd been given as they prayed to God, but they'd come to the place of prayer and sought God with all their hearts, and they hadn't given up. They hadn't despaired, as it were. They hadn't given up totally, but God had answered their prayer. You know, much prayer brings much blessing. Little prayer brings little blessing. And of all things we need to learn in this year that comes in 2005, we need to learn to pray. This was a man who waited for the consolation of Israel. But notice not only the character of Simeon's search here, but notice the cause of his search. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the reason was, one of the reasons was the prophecy of Scripture. Because there were many in those days who were waiting for the Messiah, because they knew that the Scriptures had been predicting that it was about this time that this Messiah would come. Daniel's prophecy and the prophecy of others, you could look in those prophecies, and it was generally expected that because of those prophecies that this was the time when Israel's Messiah would come. And Simeon no doubt had looked in the prophecies, and he had seen that this was the time when the consolation of Israel would come. And he had believed the Bible. And the Bible shows us that God will not be defeated, that he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Bible says the Lord's arm is not short that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And man or woman, you can look in the Bible and you can get the promises of the Bible that God will answer the prayers of his people, and God's arm is not shortened today. God is still able to save. He's able to save you. Those of you that are in this meeting today and you're not saved, and we've been praying for you. God's prophecies, as it were, his word tells us that he will save the lost. He can save you today. But not only was it because of the prophecy of the Scriptures, but because of a personal promise. You see, it says in verse 26, that it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And you know, sometimes as we read the Word of God today, there is something that shines out that comes as a personal promise to us. And we cling to those personal promises. We cling to those things that the Lord has said to us. And I know that there are those of you here today, and you have maybe promises concerning your families, or promises concerning something you've been longing for down through the years. And you can cling to those promises. If God by his word has given you something, if it has been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit through the word of God, that God is going to save a member of your family, or God is going to do something for you, you can cling on to the promises. You can plead the promises of the word that God can answer prayer. Simeon had had it revealed on him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. We think of the promise that the Lord gave to Dr. Paisley, that before he would die, he would see a revival in her land. And how he looked to the Lord would answer his prayer. And oh, that we might see in these days a mighty revival from on high, that it might come this incoming year. It might even come today, that God would visit this land and pour out of his Spirit a mighty revival from on high. And we see here Simeon's search. He waited for the consolation of Israel. And he did it because he believed in the Word. And so do we today. And I hope that you believe God's Word. And that even on the next prayer meeting night that you'll be out. And that you'll be seeking the Lord for His grace and for His power. Even tonight, you'll come along and seek for God's blessing upon the evening service. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's why the Lord said, behold him. He was a man of prayer. That's why the Lord wanted us to see him. Because he was a man who waited in prayer. And so we see Simeon's search. But then I want you to see something else about Simeon. Notice his Savior. Look at verse 27. It says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. And you see how he was brought by the Spirit of God into the temple just at the moment when the Savior was there. In order to answer the promise, he was compelled by the Holy Spirit, prompted by the Holy Spirit to go right in there at the time when the Lord was to be there. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can prompt you to do things. Sometimes the Holy Spirit can prompt you to say things. The Holy Spirit can prompt you to go to a place. And you know, I know that in myself there are times when sometimes some person in the congregation comes in my heart and I must go and see that person. Must go and see that individual. And sometimes you're prompted by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon here just to go into the temple when the Lord Jesus was there. And he saw the Savior. And for Simeon, that was the reason for all his waiting. His waiting was over there. That moment, his great desire, his great longing had been fulfilled. How was it fulfilled? When he saw the Savior. When he met the Lord Jesus. When he saw the Lord's Christ. That was the crowning of his life. That was the zenith of his whole life. To see the Savior. To come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And men and women, that's what we need to do this Lord's Day. We need to come face to face with the Lord's Christ. Have you met with him today? Have you met with him in spirit today? Has he been speaking to your heart? Have you caught a glimpse of the glory of the Lord? Have you come in love and adoration and got down to speak today and said, yes, he's my Savior. I love him as I've never loved him before. My, that's a transforming experience. When you see the Lord's Christ, will you draw near to him today? Will you come into his presence? What a difference it makes in our life when we come into the very presence of the Lord. But notice where Simeon actually was when he met the Lord's Christ. It's very noticeable to see where he actually was when he met the Lord. He was in the temple. He came into the temple. That's where he met the Lord's Christ, in the temple. The temple was the place of prayer and worship. No doubt it was the temple where Simeon had come day by day to pray and seek the face of God, even as Anna did. She didn't depart out of the temple. But Simeon came day by day and he came to worship the Lord and to pray. And was just there in the place where he prayed, that he met the Lord's Christ. Just there in the place where he normally came into the presence of God. That's where he met the Savior, as he had never done before. That's where we will meet the Savior. Maybe in our own quiet time, in the place where we gather with him, in the place of prayer. That's where we will meet him. And we will meet him in the place where we draw near to worship him, in God's house. You know, there have been a number of hymns and songs that have been written maybe over the last 50 years. And we think of hymns where we will say we'll meet the Lord in the garden as much as we will in the church. And I suppose there's a little bit of truth in that. Or My Cathedral Underneath the Sky. You ever heard that one? What a lot of rubbish. Now God wants his people. Yes, he can meet us underneath the sky. Yes, he is everywhere. But God wants his people to gather in his own prescribed manner, in his own in the gathering, in the assembly where God's people meet together, that's where he particularly meets with us. Where two or three are met together in his name, there he will meet with us. There he will draw nigh to us. There he will bless us. And dear friend, you can meet the Lord anywhere. You will particularly meet him in your quiet time. Yes, you will. You can meet him when you're going about. Yes, you will. He's always there with you. But he wants us not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He will meet us in the prayer meeting. He will meet us in the Sunday morning service. He will meet us in the Sunday evening service. As he met Simeon in the temple, so he wants us to gather together. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Make sure you're there at the regular meetings. Make sure you're there on Sunday morning. Make sure you're there on Sunday evening. Make sure you're there at the prayer meeting, as well as the other meetings that may be convened. You know, if we were to show our love for the Lord the way, or if we were to show our love when we're courting our wife, or when you are courting your girlfriend the same way that you do to the Lord, then there wouldn't be much chance for you. When you come along at all time when you think that you should, or maybe just visit a wee while, they wouldn't think much of it, I wouldn't have thought. But we can't have a lackadaisical attitude to the things of God. That betrays a lack of love. No, Simeon met the Lord Christ in the temple. That's where we will meet with the Lord. Don't you be absent. Remember we told you about Evan Roberts in the Welsh Revival. And from early in his life he said he would never miss the prayer meeting because he said that might be the day that the Lord comes. And if the Lord was to come and you were to be absent. And so the temple here was the place where he was there. It was a place of worship. It was also a place of duty. It was a place where the duties were performed and where prayer was made. And of course, it was the place where the Levites served the Lord and the priests offered the offering. It was a place of duty. And of course, we will also meet the Lord Christ in the place of duty when we are serving him, when we are giving of our best to him. But what a value it is in having the Lord Christ in our arms. Without him we're nothing. Without him we will get nowhere. We need him today. We need, as it were, to draw near and take the Lord Christ in our arms. If you're saved today, will you take the Lord Christ afresh in your arms? And bless God, what a blessing that is. Or if you're not saved, may you come to him. And find him as your Savior and your God. And we see Simeon's search here. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. We see his Savior. He finds the Savior in the temple and takes him up in his arms. But then I want you to see something else. Notice Simeon's satisfaction. Look at verses 28 and 29. It says, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. Notice Simeon's joy here. He rejoiced. When he met the Lord Christ, it brought joy to his heart. And look at his words in verse 30 to 32. It says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And he saw something in Christ. He saw not only one who would satisfy him and did satisfy him. As he took him in his arms, he was filled with joy. That's the mark of a person that's close to the Lord, filled with joy. I have a joy in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Are you glad today? In the midst of the trials and the difficulties of life, are you glad that you're saved? But he saw something else, a light to lighten the Gentiles. One who would come into the world and shed light in the darkness among the Gentiles, among the whole world, joy and peace to all people. And you notice the faith of Simeon in the passage. The one, of course, that he saw was a little baby, just 8 days old. And anybody watching, I'm sure, and they saw Simeon taking this baby in his arms and saying this was the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of Israel, they would have said to themselves, well, he's gone a little bit senile. Here's a little baby, hardly a week old, and he's saying it's a light to lighten the Gentiles. And it hasn't, this little baby hasn't proved itself. Couldn't tell whether it's a leader. Couldn't tell when there's anything special about it in the normal course of events, as you couldn't with a little baby. You don't know its character. You don't know what way its personality will be. But here's this old man, and he says, this is the light to lighten the Gentiles. Why? Because he had faith. He had spiritual insight. And he could look upon the small little baby, and he could see that this indeed was the Lord's Christ. And you know, we might look at the church today and what it is. We say, well, there's nothing that we can do. We can look at ourselves and say there's nothing that we can do. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. And if we're directed by God, there's nothing that we can't do. There's nothing that we can't achieve. And here's a man who had faith in God. And you see, here we have Simeon's faith. But then notice Simeon's desire. Look at verse 29. He says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now he's looking at the child. He says, that's thy salvation. Salvation was in the child. Salvation was in the Lord Jesus Christ. For that is the only one who can save. Wasn't in the church. Wasn't in what he would represent. Wasn't in what he would bring about. Or the movement that he would found. Or the church that would be the New Testament church that would be brought into being as a result of our Savior's death. Although the church, of course, was in existence right from the Old Testament times. It wasn't any of those things. Salvation was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And still is. But notice this man, he had a sight of the Savior, and he says, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. And the actions here of taking the Lord Jesus in his arms was the actions of taking a Savior, salvation, in his arms. That's what he was really doing when he took up the Lord Jesus Christ. He was taking salvation in his arms. And that's what we need to do today. That's what you need to do. Take salvation in your arms. That's how you can die in peace, if you have salvation in your arms. That's why Simeon could die in peace. That's why he just said, well, my life could be over now. I could just go now. I'm ready to go now because I have salvation in my arms. Have you salvation, as it were, in your arms? Have you clasped the salvation of God to your bosom? Have you taken the Lord's Christ? Maybe you've let him go. Maybe there was a time when you clasped the Lord's Christ, and to some degree and measure you've let your grip go. You're backsliding today. Backslidden. Well, then take him up in your arms again. And then you'll have joy. As Simeon had joy. There are those of you today and you're not saved. You've never taken the Savior in your arms. You've never grasped the salvation of God. You're not ready to die. You're not ready to go. You can't say, like Simeon, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. For you wouldn't depart in peace. It wouldn't be peace that you're going to. It wouldn't be peace that you're facing. If you haven't the Lord's Christ in your arms. No, dear man, woman, you need to take the Lord's Christ in your arms today. Because that's the only way that you'll depart from this life in peace. It's the only way that you will go away from this world in peace if you have the Lord's Christ near you. Take him today. Let him be your Savior. Let him give you joy and peace. And most of all, let him give you salvation. For he will give you salvation. And you'll be ready to go. And you'll be ready to die. And you'll be ready to part this life. For you have the Lord's Christ. May God write his word upon our hearts. And may we know him today. Let's unite together in prayer. And maybe you don't know the Lord Christ today. You can't say that I will depart in peace. You're not ready as Simeon was ready. He was ready to go. His life could have ended just there, right then. But if your life was to end right now, just now, it wouldn't be peace for you. It wouldn't be peace for you. Dear friend, it'd be anything but peace. Anything but peace. But Simeon said, I can go in peace, for I have the Savior. I have seen thy salvation. You can see God's salvation today. You can have the Savior. Take him in your arms, as it were, by faith. Clasp the one who can give salvation. And then you'll be ready. Ready. No matter what this new year may bring. Will you come to the Savior today? Come to the Savior. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We bless thee for this old man Simeon, who had faith to believe, faith to trust the promises. And our God, we thank that he wasn't let down. We bless that thy word will never let us down. And our God, we thank that we had the opportunity to grasp God's salvation. And then he was ready to go. He was ready to die. And our Father, we thank thee for everyone in this meeting who has, as it were, by faith, taken the Lord Jesus in their arms. And Lord, we're ready to die. And our Father, we pray for those that haven't, have never taken the Lord Jesus Christ in their arms. They cannot depart in peace. They will not depart in peace. Lord, we know that thy word indicates that. But Lord, we thank thee that thy salvation is here today. We thank that the Lord Jesus is in our meeting. And O God, like Simeon, may men and women go to thee, clasp thee in thine arms, and take thee home to know his life eternal. Lord, draw sinners to Christ today, and bless thine own people. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things.